my background's in logistics. I worked in the agricultural industry in Melbourne for 13 years. And I had a phone call from, in 1999, from the Australian Red Cross, and they were looking at logisticians to second to the International Committee of the Red Cross or the International Federation of the Red Cross.
What sort of countries, which sort of disasters were you involved in?
Conflict. I had been to Darfur. I was in Peshawar in Pakistan with ICRC, and then I was in Mongolia. The Philippines, there was a landslide in 2004. In southern Africa, there was a big food in 2002, a big food crisis in the region. So we dealt with five different countries. Zimbabwe in 2009, working in the prisons. It's varied, very varied, yeah.
And what's the day in the life of a person who works in logistics for the Red Cross in some of these areas?
It can vary. If you're in the middle of a crisis, then they're very long days, and you have to deal with all the local laws and the customs departments and bringing the goods in. You can't just, you know, while you want to get everything on the ground really quickly, the reality is that you have constraints. There's letters that have to be signed by bureaucrats, so you're tax exempt, so you can bring them in quickly. Then they have to be stored correctly if they're going to be stored. If it's the rainy season, which it's starting now in South Sudan, you have to try and get them, the relief items, out to the people where there's no road access. And even if you have a plane, you still have to be able to access a runway. So there's all different kinds of restraints.
What was it like just most recently in South Sudan? Can you describe what it was like?
It was heartbreaking, really, because a lot of the people have been moved to camps, and it happened so quickly that they were in these places. Even there were a couple of UN camps that they were in where the UNMISS had been, and there's so many people in them, and there's no facilities for them. No infrastructure was set up, and they've had to do that as they go along. So, yeah, it's very difficult. There's overcrowding. There's no proper water, no hygiene. It must be really difficult for them.
What can you do for them?
Well, you try to make their lives a little bit more comfortable. Give them clean water, which is difficult, and health care. And now it's the wet season, so things like malaria will be really rampant. So, you know, mosquito nets, so they can try and protect them a little bit. Yeah, food, just the basics. Mm. The people will continue to need these supplies for as long as there's conflict. Mm. And at the same time, the Red Cross will also start to, you know, give them agricultural seeds and tools so they can start learning to make a living again, and fend for themselves.
Do you find that challenging, going in for short times and then not really ever knowing whether that community will get back on its feet?
This was the first short mission I've ever done, but I'm going back, so I will see how it's going. I would imagine that would be frustrating, I think, to go in and then leave and not seeing anything. But sometimes even when you're there for 12 months, you don't really see that much, but it just depends what you think, you know, is a good thing that you've done. Mm. For me personally, if a woman doesn't have to walk 30 kilometres with two babies strapped to her to get her food, then it's a good thing.
And is this going to be a lifelong journey?
I think so, yes. I definitely, I will have responsibilities. My parents are getting older. But at least for the next 5 years, I would say I will be still doing this work. And then also myself, I might get, you know, tired of it. So I don't know. I'll just take each year as it comes.
What do your family think of what you do? Do they worry about you?
Yes. I actually feel a bit sorry for Mum and Dad now. I didn't realise When I said I was going to Pakistan, that was the first place they really didn't want me to go to at all. I was in Peshawar, but I went anyway. But they do worry, yes. And when I first started, there was a woman working at the Australian Red Cross, and they were actually going to send me away straight away. And they said to me, "No, you need to get your parents used to it." And your family play a big part in it, because I constantly am in contact with my family when I'm away. And I think that's what makes it easier too, knowing that no matter what I do or what happens, I have them here, my family here, and they'll always be here for me. Yeah. So, but no, they do. And as they're getting older, Mum and Dad, I feel a bit sorry for them, but it doesn't stop me from going.
Why do you do this?
Because I don't know, I love it. I think, actually, to be honest, I get more out of it than what I put in. You put in long work, but I get to live in places I would never have been in Darfur, and how they, you know, still donkeys and camels and roam the place. And you get to live really close to the communities and see how they live. And at the end of the day, people generally are just lovely, even amongst conflict, the children can still find a smile.